You're listening to the Liberty News Radio Network, and this is the Political Cesspool. The Political Cesspool, known across the South and worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, and here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
Oh, what a beautiful song. Good evening indeed, everybody. And are you ready for another year of broadcasting here on TPC? Let's go indeed into this new year together. And here we are on January the 1st. I want to thank again Nick Griffin, the former member of European Parliament, our longtime friend, for staying up with us once again past midnight in London to be our guest during the first hour of the first show of the new year. And but we're not trading down. No, not at all. We have a quartet now of our favorite guests that are going to be joining us for the rest of the program to offer us their predictions and resolutions for the new year, the last of, I guess you could say, the festive season of holiday broadcasting before we get back to business as usual next week.
Sobering reality.
Well, I'll ask you, I'll go ahead and get this out of the way for the first time this year. What do you think, 1957 when Diana was number one, or do you take 2022?
1957, all the way.
Okay. That being said, let's go back to another one of our very good friends, Paul Ramsey. Paul's back with us tonight from Arkansas. Paul, how are you doing?
Good. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you as well, brother. And got a contribution from one of your neighbors in Sheridan, Arkansas, during our Christmas fundraising drive. He writes, thanks for what you do. God bless TPC. Well, God bless all of you, whether you're in Arkansas or in Whitestone, New York. Listener tuned in tonight, wherever you may be. Happy New Year to you. Paul, what do you see coming up this year? This is the night where it's all still ahead of us, and every prediction is just as viable as another. So you look into your crystal ball. What's the next 12 months?
What's the oddest prediction you have to make, Ramsey?
Okay, let's go there.
The oddest?
Yeah.
I don't know what the oddest is. If I had to make my most out-on-the-limb prediction, is that Biden will have to step down because of health reasons. I could see him having a stroke. And, they may try to hide it for a while. People may not know the difference, to be honest.
I think they had him elected precisely because he was that guy, you know, the guy suffering from senility, somebody that could be pliable and could do whatever they wanted him to do.
Well, there's no doubt that all of his dogs aren't barking. I mean, we know that.
Yeah, he's controlled by his handlers, so I almost feel sorry for him. Not really, because he's been a politician since I've been like 7 years old. It's amazing. He's never had an honest job.
Speaking of feeling sorry for him, now tell me if I'm off base on this. I had a tinge of that as well. Maybe we're too good for our own good, because this guy has obviously been a sociopath and a sellout to his people his entire life. But when he was so far gone, he didn't even pick up on the joke of the Let's Go Brandon thing at Christmas. When the caller to NORAD Santa greeted him with Let's Go Brandon, he said, yeah, Let's Go Brandon. I was also this is unreal that this guy, that even anyone could pretend he has the cognitive function to be president. He didn't pick up on the biggest meme of the year at his own expense, and he repeats it. That's absurd.
Yeah, he's not really connected with what's going on. And as I often say, you know, I do my live streams too, and I don't think he could be like on your program now. I really don't. He couldn't understand. He couldn't converse. He couldn't answer questions. He has to be very controlled. It's got to be scripted. and he gets confused easily. It's an embarrassing situation. I mean, it's funny on the level, but on another level, when you think about the great history of this country, it's very sad. We're in this clown world scenario now. And what makes it worse, the Vice President Kamala Harris, she got there literally through sexual favors. I mean, it's then she has like no popularity. People can't stand her. It's an embarrassing situation. So I guess if I was going out on the limb, I would say he will have some medical issue and they try to replace him. And that's probably the wildest. Some other.
Well, there's nothing in the early Rome with Nero and Caligula that could really compare with what was going on in America now.
I would say there's at least a moderate probability that that could happen. I mean, obviously dealing, you know, considering his health issue, but could they replace him with anyone other than the vice president, who may be the only person in American government who's more unpopular than he is?
Yeah, she has no support. Even the black community does not support her because she's not really black. She didn't grow up in that community. She doesn't really have a tie to the United States. She was born in the United States so she can legally be president, which is absurd. But she was raised, I think, in Quebec and like a Jamaican father or I forget. It was just a weird situation. So she doesn't really have a tie to the United States either. Through the, you know, her white side or her African side. So it's odd. And they tried to force her on us, big tech, you remember, in the primaries, but she got really no support. And Biden, he admitted he did not pick the best candidate to be vice president based on the most qualified. He said, no, I need to get a woman of color. And that's why he picked her. And so she's definitely affirmative action. She has really no qualifications.
Welcome to the new affirmative action of America now.
Well, gentlemen, that is her qualifications. I mean, Biden boxed himself in the middle of the election year by saying he would only consider non-white females. And so there you have it. That was her qualifications, and that's what got her in there. But interestingly, she ran so poorly in the Democratic primary, she was one of the first casualties of the crowded field, and she was polling at the very bottom of their party the whole way through.
The most memorable thing she said was that Joe Biden was a racist, and he picked her to be the vice president.
Yeah, she was a horrible candidate. They were big tech was trying to push her, but she got like 1%. Of the Democrat vote. She got wiped out early and she was supposed to be a favorite. So yeah, she would be a horrible president and it would be a disaster. But, you know, to be honest, I don't know if it'd be any worse just because Biden's not running things. And if Kamala got in, someone else would be running things behind the scenes. It's kind of a cabal of people running our government. And there's a lot of confusion now. There's a lot of confusion which way to
tell
go.
Tell us this, Paul. Who is really running America right now? I want your opinion on this.
I think it's just a group of people, and I don't think it's a single person. I think it's there's some of the Clinton people are in there, some of the Obama people. Hillary, she still wants to be president. She read her acceptance speech that she would have gave, and she cried about it. And so she still wants it. So I think it's a group of people that are in the Democratic machine. And they're really controlling things because obviously Biden can't really run things.
Well, hold on right there. Hold on right there. We're going to repose the question to Paul at the top of the next segment. Predictions and resolutions for the new year, perhaps resolutions that he made for himself. You know, this is a time for self-improvement and self-betterment, but perhaps resolutions we can all hope for our fellow man as we go through the next 12 months. It's a brand new slate tonight.
It'll be shock and awe from Paul Ramsey after these words.
As the United States boldly stepped forward in the glorious light provided by its new Constitution in 1787, the nations of the earth were in awe of the newfound strength and hope of this free land. Today, the nation stands at a crossroads, a divergence from the original intent put forth in the United States Constitution has brought grave threats to our beloved nation. A miracle is needed if the United States is to survive. That miracle is again the pure application of the United States Constitution. I'm Scott Bradley. In my To Preserve the Nation book and lecture series, I bring forth truths that will help raise up a new generation of statesmen like those noble Americans who founded this land. Vigorous application of these principles will invigorate and restore the nation. And we may become again the freest, most prosperous, most respected, and happiest nation on earth. Visit topreservethenation.com to begin that restoration.
Okay, girls, about finished with your lesson on money?
Daddy, what is a buy-sell spread for gold coins?
Well, when you sell a gold coin to a coin shop that's worth, say, $1,200, you don't actually get $1,200. But don't worry, we're members of UPMA now, so we don't have to worry about that.
Daddy, what if somebody steals our gold?
We don't have any gold at the house. It's stored safely in the UPMA vault, securely and insured.
But the S&P 500 outperformed gold. Daddy, gold is a bad investment.
Some people do think of it that way, but actually, gold is money. And as members of the United Precious Metals Association, we can use our gold at any store, just like a credit card. Or I can ask them to drop it right into Mommy and Daddy's bank account, because we're a UPMA member family. Find out more at upma.org. That's upma.org.
Why don't we say to the government writ large that they have to spend a little bit less? Anybody ever had less money this year than you had last? Anybody better have a 1% pay cut? You deal with it. That's what government needs, a 1% pay cut. If you take a 1% pay cut across the board, you have more than enough money to actually pay for the disaster relief. But nobody's going to do that because they're fiscally irresponsible. Who are they? Republicans. Who are they? Democrats. Who are they? Virtually the whole body is careless and reckless with your money. So the money will not be offset by cuts anywhere. The money will be added to the debt, and there will be a day of reckoning. What's the day of reckoning? The day of reckoning may well be the collapse of the stock market. The day of reckoning may be the collapse of the dollar. When it comes, I can't tell you exactly, but I can tell you it has happened repeatedly in history when countries ruin their currency.
Get on the show and speak with James and the gang. Call us toll-free at 1-866-986-6397. And now, back to tonight's show.
Here we are on the first night of the new year, still getting Christmas cards in the mail. Thank you so much, ladies and gentlemen, from across the country and around the world for doing that. This comes in from a very loyal friend and supporter in Arizona. Hi, James and Keith and the TPC family. Please excuse this card for being late. I had unexpected family matters to attend to. Want you to know that your program almost always puts me in a positive mood, even though the anti-white rhetoric is getting louder and more vicious all the time. Merry Christmas and happy and healthy, prosperous 2022. Stay noble. Well, we certainly will, and it's easy to stay upbeat and positive when we have guests like Ramsey Paul. One more here from a listener in the local area. Merry Christmas, James. Please send the Hutton Gibson DVD. Yes, my friends, for everyone who donated in December, $100 or more, you're going to get that DVD of the interview that David Cole conducted with Hutton Gibson.
Let me just ask you, is it video or audio and video?
It's a DVD. It's video. You can see it and you can hear it. And it is mostly theologically inclined, that's what I wanted to talk about, but Cole does ask him a little bit about his son, his famous son, and other matters as well, and it's worth a watch for sure. And 70% of those have been mailed out. You may not have received them yet, but they are in the wind, and we do live in an increasingly third world country, so hopefully they'll be delivered to you before our show next week. But they are in the mail, and the last 30% who sent in contributions at the end of the month, they'll be going out on Monday, so they're coming your way. Back to Ramsey Paul. Paul, more predictions and resolutions. Let's get to that. Predictions and resolutions, maybe resolutions that you yourself made or resolutions that we should be making for ourselves.
Well, I got a couple of resolutions. I got a new home, and I'm going to start gardening, so I want to be able to grow a plant without it dying, so that would be a major victory.
And, a black thumb,
yeah, I do. And otherwise, I just want to be more grateful, and I want to give to people in the local community. I think that's really important. I started to build a community here in Northwest Arkansas, and I want to reach out to more people and meet them. And I've been invited, actually, to a community up in northern Idaho to go up there and do some speaking. So I'm hoping to meet a lot more people in this year and connect with them and give them a sense that they're not alone, because that's really sad. I have a Patreon, by the way, if people want to join my Patreon, Ramsey Paul, just look up Patreon. And every Friday night we have a round table. And James has been, in some cases, very, very sad with this whole COVID situation where people, they've been basically disowned by their families. They've been unable to have Christmas with them. It's sad. This one guy said that he went to see his family, and because he didn't have the vaccination, they made him have dinner outside. I wouldn't have gone, but.
Paul, this actually brings me to something that I specifically wanted to ask you about. I'm so glad you triggered my my intent here. And that was, I saw a graph. You may have been the one who retweeted this recently. And it showed the population reduction in the Northeast and in the Midwest and in the Mountain West and even in the West Coast. And they're all coming to the South. So what's going on here is now you have people, and I'm sure that this is COVID-driven by a large degree. The South has been the only region of the country that has had a population gain in terms of Americans moving to other American places over the course of the last 2 years. They're all coming down here, and I think that that's because, of course, we have common sense reactions to COVID, and the other people don't want to be subjected to this sort of nonsense and madness.
COVID and climate change both exhibit a very marked personality defect in liberals. It was first apparent in abolitionists in the pre-Civil War era. What it shows is the left's propensity to try to remake other people in their own image. And I think that is really getting on the nerves of people everywhere now in America. What do you think?
Yeah, I think COVID has become a religion for a lot of people. And because a lot of people, they no longer have God. And I think they're very fearful of death. I mean, we all are. No, I don't have a death wish, but these people, they don't have any hope in the future. And I think man just has an innate desire to understand God and to be religious. But because they've rejected, especially Christianity, they've reinvented a new religion based on, I love science, which is not really science. It's just a blind belief and Fauci. And they have, in a sense, instead of taking communion, they get the injection. And they even wear the uniform. The mask has become sort of the garments they wear to show how religious they are. And then they have the sinners, the heretics, the people that they feel aren't wearing masks or not social distancing. And it has a very religious component to it. And I think people have the need. And we're going to have a hard time walking this back. There's been people, I think, that have been scarred for life because of this hysteria. And I'm not really sure if they're going to be able to walk it back this year. I don't know if the government wants to walk it back, number one. I think they want to introduce a passport that everyone has to own. And they're going to start, make sure you have your annual booster shot. And then they're going to expand it to, what else is an emergency? Climate change. And I could see a day that, when you go order like your food in a restaurant, they said, oh, you've ate too much meat this this month. So you got to pay an extra climate change tax on that.
See, it's an abolitionist instinct to remake people in their image. And
it really is.
I love how you related it to a religion, Paul, and it most certainly is, at least for the hardcores. And look, there are some people, very good people, guests on this show, in fact, who have gotten the vaccine. I don't judge them for that. I don't think any more of them.
No.
Yeah, I mean, so this is just, it's a personal decision. But with regards to the people who take this as God's holy word, I mean, that's a whole different ballgame, a whole different thought process that we're talking about here. And I think you're quite right to relate that.
It's like
analogy.
They're the elect and we're the unwashed masses.
Well, so, and these are the things you talk about. And so we have just a minute remaining with you. I want to thank you again for being with us on the first night of the year. This is New Year's night. I mean, it's New Year's Eve is always a rough night. So I appreciate you getting back with us so quickly. And I wanted to start the show off with you, particularly this year, Paul. You were one of the ones that were on my want lists for this show. I thank you for it. And for making yourself available. You're a commentator on current events and current affairs, and you do it with a series of broadcasts, your own, of course, the Ramsey Paul YouTube videos that you've done for so many years. You've got Night Owls with Sasha. You've got an interview show now that you're doing. How can people find out more about it? What topics are you going to be focusing on in the next few days?
Yeah, if people want to find me, just look up Ramsey Paul, and I have my Patreon, which I really enjoy. We get together and have a roundtable, and I do what's ever in the news, and I just try to get a different perspective on it. And the thing I really like about it is that a lot of people, it feels, they can feel that they're not alone anymore. A lot of people feel very isolated. And even what you do, it lets people know that, you know, there's other people that think like we do. We're good people, and you don't have to feel lonely about the current situation. So I'm you know, we have a lot of struggles, but life is a struggle. That's just the way it is. God told us it'd be that way. But we always have to be positive and understand that in the end we have the victory. And I truly believe that. And just have a heart of cheer as we face everything. I think that's an important thing. And as you said, be gracious with everyone. And no matter what everyone's decision is about the vaccine or mask, I respect that. And we just need to bring our people together and not divide over these topics.
I agree. And I will tell you again that we have a lot of great guests that are in our regular rotation, program mainstays, we like to call them. I mean, but they're much more than that. They're members of the family. But starting off the year with you and Nick Griffin has been a very special thing, and I'm glad we were able to do that. We've got some great guests coming up throughout the remainder of the program tonight as well. But having you first two at bat this year, appreciate it, Paul, and look forward to being back on your show and having you back on this show again in very short order. And Happy New Year to you and to Sasha. You keep things straight in Arkansas. We'll handle things on this side of the river, and let's get together again soon. How's that sound?
Yeah, let's get together in person, too, and break bread.
We sure will. We'll do it. Keith knows all the places if you get west of the Mississippi River. Or east of the Mississippi River, as it were. East of the Mississippi River.
But yeah, just come on.
He's west, we're east. We're normally west. We're about as far west as you can get without crossing the river where Paul is in Arkansas.
That's it.
All right. Hey, Ramsey Paul, everybody. Thank you, Paul. Happy New Year. We'll be back.
God bless.
Right after this.
Proclaiming liberty across the land. You're listening to Liberty News Radio. USA Radio News with Wendy King.
A fast-moving wildfire spread by high winds has torched Boulder County, Colorado. Thousands of people escaped by running for their lives. Officials say it's very fortunate only minor injuries have been reported so far. Dave Hope is the police chief in Louisville.
Snow may be covering hazards, including areas that are still hot. Please be sure where you are stepping and reaching are safe to prevent injury.
At least 1,000 homes have been destroyed. Investigators are still trying to find out the cause of the blaze. Officials say there was some minor damage when a tornado hit Hopkinsville, Kentucky. A few businesses and at least 3 homes were damaged. One person who needed supplemental oxygen was taken to a local hospital due to widespread power outages. This is USA Radio News.
You know, if you feel like you're stuck with a healthcare plan that isn't affordable or you simply don't like it, right now is a great time to switch to MediShare. The typical family saves $500 or more per month with MediShare, and what's more, they like it. MediShare has double the customer satisfaction rate when compared to health insurance. Double. You get access to a massive network of providers and 24/7 telehealth. And MediShare is the most trusted name in healthcare sharing. It's been around for more than 25 years, and it's more than just affordable healthcare, too. You get to be part of a community of Christians who pray for each other and support each other. But here's why now is the time to make the switch. Join before January 15th, and they'll waive your new member fee. So you'll save another $170 right off the bat. Call now. You'll get a price within 2 minutes. And again, the deadline is January 15th, so you can save even more. Call 833-34-BIBLE. That's 833-34-BIBLE, 833-34-BIBLE.
The Biden administration has extended operations on the International Space Station through 2030 to enable a seamless transition to commercial space stations. NASA Administrator Bill Nelson announced in a statement that NASA will continue working with the European Space Agency, Japan Aerospace Exploration Agency, Canadian Space Agency, and also Russia's State Space Corporation, Roscosmos. Earlier this month, NASA awarded $415 million to 3 companies for the development of commercial destinations in space. Blue Origin, aerospace company NanoRox, and aerospace and defense company Northrop Grumman. In April, NASA awarded close to $3 billion to SpaceX to continue the development of the first commercial human lander, called HLS Starship, which will take astronauts to the moon before someday taking humans to Mars. You're listening to USA Radio News.
Say it's all right. It's all right. Say it's all right.
It's all right.
It's all right. Have a good time. 'Cause it's all right. Whoa, it's all right. We're gonna move it slow. When lights are low, when you move it slow, it sounds like a moan, and it's alright, whoa, it's alright.
Oh, ladies and gentlemen, it's always all right when we're together, is it not? And it's
really all right when we have Brad Griffin on the show.
Keith, you stole my thunder. Yes, indeed, we do have the founder and editor of Occidental Dissent on with us here again. So many appearances we've lost track over the years, and deservedly so. But again, with us tonight, this first show of 2022. Brad was another one of the ones I had to have tonight. You've already heard from Nick Griffin, former member of European Parliament. You've heard from Ramsey Paul. You're going to hear from a couple of others in the next hour. But Brad was one. Brad really nailed 2021. He sure did. And we talked to him about some of the trends and some of the predictions, and I said, we got to get this Oracle back on.
We need the Nostradamus of Alabama back on.
2022. But first, I want to just give a quick shout-out to listener Joe in Arizona, who sent such a great gift packet in last month and included some gifts for my children. Thank you, Joe, for that. He also included a scripture verse, which so many of our listeners do when they send in correspondence, and he included John 3:21, which reads, "But whoever lives by the truth comes into the light, so that it may be seen plainly that what they have done has been done in the sight of God." And I think that really sums up our guest right now, Brad Griffin, who is such a prolific writer and a documenter of things.
He's a questing spirit.
He's a noticer.
He uses the time that God has allotted him to take deep dives into history and come up with his own unique interpretation, which really always makes a lot of sense.
OccidentalDissent.com is where you got to go. He's a dear friend and a longtime regular guest. Brad, without further ado, Happy New Year, and how are you tonight, brother?
Sure. How you doing? Doing good.
Well, we're busy, obviously. I mean, you know, you heard all of that. It took us 10 minutes just to get to you. So, but no, listen, yeah. I appreciate you coming on tonight, being a family man and all, and it being New Year's Day night, as it were. You put up a post that we will repost, 2022 predictions. That's the theme of the show tonight. You had 16 of them. Zero in on some of the most interesting you think for the audience. They're all worth a read.
Well, I mean, a lot of stuff is, you know, broadly accepted. I mean, we all know the Democrats are going to get crushed in the midterms. We know our politics is going to become more polarized, more radical. We'll probably see.
If they don't get crushed, though, Brad, let me just say this: if they don't get crushed, then we know for certain that the election was stolen in 2020.
They're going to get. I think they're going to get crushed. Go on, Brad.
Well, yeah, I did write a follow-up post about hedges, so you know, maybe you know, Joe Biden gets lucky. I mean, more unlikely things have happened, like him getting the nomination in the first place after losing those primaries. But things. I think COVID will fade. I don't think there's going to be another nasty new variant. I think it's on track to becoming the common cold, and hopefully that'll go away. I'm not sure about inflation. I don't know how that'll be. Could go either way. I think, you know, crime and gas prices and immigration are all going to be as bad, or if not worse, you know, by the midterms. Those are some big ones. I didn't weigh in on the the French election, but you know, that's going to be significant too. Forgot about that one. So.
Let me ask you this, Brad. When are people going to realize, when it comes to COVID, that the cure is worse than the disease, or at least the inoculation or the vaccine or whatever you want to call the shot?
Well, I mean, I think most people are just tired of it at this point. And I mean, that's the way things are trending, that, you know, even people who got the vaccine, a lot of them are getting infected now by Omicron or whatever it is. So, hopefully, you know, it's just, you know, these things usually, I mean, every previous one has had like a 2-year lifespan, and we seem to be 2 years out. So,
You had an interesting take on this, and I think it was spot on. You've had a nuanced take on this the whole way through, and I think it's been pretty steady. And that is that with each subsequent variant, so-called, it becomes less and less potent, and it becomes endemic, and then it becomes just a common cold.
And Omicron is a cold, basically.
Basically.
Yeah,
now,
yeah. I think I had it. I think I had a sniffles for like a few hours.
Well, let me ask you this, though, Brad. And I'm at OccidentalDescent.com. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm there every day. I'm here right now live as we're on the air, and I'm looking at it in the studio as we talk with its editor and writer, Brad Griffin. And you should be there every day as well, OccidentalDescent.com. But I'm concerned about this, Brad, and tell me if I'm right or wrong in what your take on what I'm about to say is. I have enjoyed, in some ways, the last year under Biden more than I did the 4 years under Trump, in so much as our movement has sort of coalesced and, as you mentioned, radicalized a little bit more over the course of the past year.
We've made more progress this year than we did under the entire 4 years of Trump.
And you've documented this so long. Yeah, go ahead. Go ahead.
Since, you know, I think it was exactly January of last year, I was so excited. I saw that poll that came out after Trump left office. And, you know, Trump had a, you know, he was the dam. He had a de-radicalizing effect. He made people less radical than they otherwise would be just by occupying the office. And you know, now that he's gone, it seems like we were moving forward in 2014, 2015, 2016, ran into the wall in 2017, stagnated for another few years, and then just in late 2020, you know, from the Floyd riots on, COVID on, and especially 2021, we've just like taken a gigantic leap forward. I mean, like in the Washington Post yesterday, they were talking about, secession might not be that bad.
Here's my, you've written about this prolifically as well. Now, secession is a real idea, and it hasn't materialized yet. It's theory, not practice, but it is something that's being seriously considered on both sides for different reasons.
It's happening, actually. You know, it may not be happening on a statewide level or on a national level or with a discrete and identifiable leadership, but people are seceding. White people are moving out of urban areas into rural areas, for example. That's a form of secession.
Well, here's my concern, though, Brad, and my concern is this, that the party comes to an end in November. When the Democrats, who have overplayed their hands and overplayed wokeness to an absurd extent, they get routed, and you get the government repopulated with more Lauren Boberts, Marjorie Taylor Greene. So, yes, I mean, you know, ultimately, I guess they're better than your average Kamala Harris, but they're not going to take us where we need to go. You're going to have another cultural tea party, as you write about, another bunch of tea party people.
You'll have a Kevin, not Marjorie Taylor Greene, but more Kevin McCarthy's and Paul Ryan.
So that's the thing. If you get that, and it serves as you said a moment ago, another dam, that's going to be a disservice to us.
Yeah, I mean, I don't see any way of avoiding that. I mean, I definitely think people are going to go take it out on the Democrats, and they're going to vote even harder for the GOP. And, you know, I mean, it might not is pretty much anyone like who's got an R next to their name is going to get elected. So it could be. It could be Glenn Youngkin types. It could be Marjorie Taylor Greene types. It could be, I don't know, maybe J.D. Vance if he gets past his primary.
Paul Ryan.
Yeah, Vance is somebody. But
it's pure backlash politics. So anyone who with an R next to it. But I do think there's going to be more of the Marjorie Taylor Greene types. And, you know,
is that good? Like I said, is that good? Is there any good that now she has mentioned the W word? She's mentioned white a couple of times. I mean, we get excited
in half
about
her
that.
Moods. In half her mood, she's good. half the time, 25.
Is it good? Is it good that we get those types of people instead of people like? I mean, look, they're not Nick Griffin. They're not David Duke. They're not George Wallace.
But they're not Paul Ryan.
Okay. Is it good that we get those people in, or is it better that we fester and stew a little bit longer?
I really just see it as, you know, a done deal at this point. It's unavoidable.
It is unavoidable, but can there be good that comes of it? I agree with you that it's unavoidable.
Yeah.
The Democrats are going to get routed.
I mean, it's better to have Marjorie Taylor Greene, I guess, trolling and breaking the ice on secession, and you know,
it moves the Overton window in our direction.
Right, right. So I mean, okay. You have a lot of these people; they're trolls, and they're going to use Congress as kind of like a podium to troll the libs, and half the time that's good, you know. Makes it easier, kind of breaks the ice around controversial topics. I think that's good. But, you know, most of the time they're just doing stupid nonsense and not passing legislation. So we got a long ways to go before we can actually vote, get someone in there who's going to do anything beyond, you know, just trolling on Twitter, I think.
And if we even need to win elections, I mean, that is the time passed for that? We were talking about that again with Nick Griffin in the first hour. Is that even the most important thing, or is the most important thing to wait for society to collapse, as it inevitably will? That, and we're not saying this because we know anything. It's just that we know something that anybody else doesn't know. That's just historical trends. History teaches us that no civilization, no nation survives forever in some sort of a static way. But we'll continue this conversation with Brad Griffin next. Stay tuned.
You know where the solution can be found, Mr. President? In churches, in wedding chapels, in maternity wards across the country and around the world. More babies will mean forward-looking adults, the sort we need to tackle long-term, large-scale problems. American babies in particular are likely going to be wealthier, better educated, and more conservation-minded than children raised in still industrializing countries. As economist Tyler Cowen recently wrote, quote, "By having more children, you're making your nation more populous, thus boosting its capacity to solve climate change. The planet does not need for us to think globally and act locally so much as it needs us to think family and act personally. The solution to so many of our problems, at all times and in all places, is to fall in love, get married, and have some kids."
People in government hate to be compared to Nazi Germany, but what is going on with the COVID vaccine is very similar to the beginning of something that happened not long ago. From 1933 to 1945, Nazi Germany carried out a campaign to cleanse German society of individuals viewed as biological threats to the nation's health. Enlisting doctors, the Nazis developed a health policy that began with mass sterilization of what they called genetically diseased persons, Jews, blacks, and gypsies. With legitimacy provided by science experts, the Nazi regime carried out a program of forced sterilization, then isolation from the rest of the German population, and finally, euthanasia, that found its most radical manifestation in the death of millions of people that were considered a national health risk. Sound familiar?
Paid for by Ammon Bundy for governor. VoteBundy.com.
The Foundation for Moral Law is a nonprofit legal foundation committed to protecting our unalienable right to publicly acknowledge God. The Foundation for Moral Law exists to restore the knowledge of God in law and government, and to acknowledge and defend the truth that man is endowed with rights not by our fellow man, but by God. The foundation maintains a twofold focus. First, litigation within state and federal courts. Second, education. Conducting seminars to teach the necessity and importance of acknowledging God in law and government. How can you help? Please make a tax-deductible contribution, allowing foundation attorneys to continue the fight. You may also purchase various foundation products as well at morallaw.org. Located in Montgomery, Alabama, the Foundation for Moral Law is a nonprofit, tax-exempt 501c3, founded by Judge Roy Moore. Please partner with us to achieve this important mission. morallaw.org.
Get on the show. Call us on James's Dime at 1-866-986-6397.
Welcome back, everybody. It's New Year's night here on TPC, and we have with us now Brad Griffin, the founder and editor-in-chief of Occidental Descent, OccidentalDescent.com. Of course, we're talking with everybody tonight about their predictions and resolutions for the new year. Looking through Brad's right now, Here are some of his 2022 predictions. We've been talking about the Republicans winning the 2022 midterms. And is it better for us that we have Tea Party conservatives as opposed to the genuine article? I always prefer the real deal as opposed to Brand X.
But there's a third variety, though, the Chamber of Commerce Republicans. And
That's right. Now, well, I mean, you can't get what you want, but you just might get what is it? You might get
what you need. Yeah, the Rolling Stones. According to the Rolling Stones.
Right. We'll get back to Brad on that. Latinx voters shift right. He predicts the Red Dogs are going to temporarily come home. COVID fades for real. I hope that's true. Gas prices, illegal immigration, and violent crime remain high. Polarization will increase. Supreme Court weakens but not overturns Roe versus Wade. Inflation will persist for a few months longer. Donald Trump will announce his 2024 campaign for the presidency. Merrick Garland indicts Donald Trump. Media continues breathless coverage of January 6th. That's actually something we haven't mentioned yet. That anniversary is coming up in 5 days. So, wow, gird your loins for that, batten down the hatches. Counter-extremism grift continues. Build Back Better will pass in some form. Our democracy will die in 2022 with regards to the woke professional class and their view of it. You can read this at OccidentalDescent.com. It's fantastic work. So, Brad, continue on with these predictions. Which one should we zero in on this segment?
Before we get into the predictions, I think some of our people should run for office this year. I think it's going to be a pure backlash.
Amen. That's exactly what
I think. I think it's going to be a pure backlash election, in that like a lot voters are not going to even know or care like who's running. Like there was a truck driver, I believe, in New Jersey who knocked off the head of the New Jersey Machines, president of the state senate. Spent like $150 on his campaign on some race in New Jersey that no one was paying attention to.
This is a rare opportunity for people that think like us to get their nose in the tent, of the political tent here, and get some power.
Well, this is interesting, yeah. Brad, because, I mean, we so often focus on Congress or Senate or the presidency, but you think that the woke backlash could be so strong that it could sweep some people into maybe the state house or a state legislature.
You're not going to be elected because you are something. You're going to be elected because you're not something.
This is good that you're bringing this up.
Even city council or something like that. I don't know. I mean, I just think our people, I mean, especially people who aren't well-known, who have zero name ID, should just say, I'm going to run in my area, just make a go of it. Don't even really invent, just get on the ballot, you know. And
we need to get the word out to people. If you see a lot of ads for a candidate that's giving you important information, don't vote for that candidate.
Right. I really do think we can, you know, just by not being a Democrat, I think that's what, let's go Brandon. I think that's sufficient to. It doesn't even matter. It does at this point. It doesn't even matter. Like, just don't be associated with those people, and if you get elected, you have a good shot. And I mean, even if the media did focus on you and say you're all these awful things, that might even encourage. I mean, people might be so mad they might vote for you. I mean, times have changed. I think we should really test the water.
I got 40% of the vote, and I was supposed to be the worst thing since George Wallace. So.
You might get 60 or 70 this time around if you go.
It came out a week or two before the election that Keith was associated with this program and the biggest white nationalist running at the moment, and Newsweek magazine covered it, and he still got 40% in the primary. But
you should run for Senate. I said that all last year. And I really do think
it's small potatoes. I'm running for president.
Yeah, all you got to do is take your yard signs, just scratch off a tax assessor, and put in president or
generalissimo.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, again, Brad, I'm concerned though. Not to belabor the point, I'm concerned though that we're going to get continuously sucked into this never-ending cycle. And again, some of it, you got to wait for the time to be right. Nothing happens in history without good timing. But where we get sucked into this incessant cycle of, a couple of cycles ago back in the late 2000s, early 2010s, where you have the Tea Party sweeping in to the House.
But I really do think that Brad is on to something. This is sheer reaction against the excesses of the Democrats. And, you know, you're running not as a Republican, but as not a Democrat.
Yeah, that's fine. But, you know, at some point, we need more than that. We got to demand more from our elected officials. And we're getting that a little bit. I mean, we talked about that a couple of weeks ago, right, Brad? Where now DeSantis is at least mentioning, and Marjorie Taylor Greene is at least mentioning the word white. But we got to go further. We got to have more. I don't want to get into this never-ending cycle where the Tea Party comes in for a couple of cycles, and then the Democrats come back for a couple of. I mean, we've seen that lives.
We just need to develop a few beachheads, get a few people elected to Congress, for example.
Yeah, well, one would be good.
If you just had one or two or three, if we had a bunch of people run in 2022, just put their names out there to get on the ballot, and let's say you have like five or six people in the country, probably more than that, who are explicitly, pro white, pro South, have this, or woke on all issues.
Of the squad.
Or just say you got like five people like David Duke elected in 2022. The media would go nuts about that for years.
They couldn't focus on anything else for 4 years if that happened.
Well, I mean, you did have, of course, the Arizona member of Congress Paul Gozer, who attended Nick Fuentes's
That's important, and we used to have these Republican politicians who would come speak to the council. And then that dried up, but now it seems to be like, politics has gotten so radical that it's happening again.
It would be our version of the squad. It would be our Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez.
Right. We need four or five of them. We give Gozer some company. But so, Brad, you were so good at diagnosing trends last year. We mentioned this a moment ago. And reading the polls and reading the tea leaves, what do we look like a year from now, not necessarily with regard to the Republican-Democrat makeup of Congress, but where do we look like as a movement a year from now? Obviously, an impossible thing to predict, but what do you think?
Yeah, could the movement get its act together? I think it's possible. I mean, everyone who went to Charlottesville got sued. A lot of groups and a lot of leaders have faded away, but the average normie is so much more radical. I mean. There's all the conditions are right, for another, boom.
Things are breaking our way finally.
Well, right. this you actually worded it in such a way that I think would bring me to my sharpest question for you. This is, I think, important. Will the inevitable Democratic collapse in November and the election of more right-of-center Republicans, but not necessarily race-conscious Republicans, will that diffuse what's going on with the Republican base? That's a good question.
I don't think so. No, I think the trajectory of this is, both sides is just getting more and more and more extreme in their rhetoric and see the other side as, the pure enemy. I just see that. I mean, if the Republicans come storming back into Congress, the Democrats will freak out, and then that'll cause a reaction amongst the Republicans. I just see it just ratcheting up and up and up and up and getting more and more and more tense. And I don't see it calming down. I mean, we're talking about secession now, but I mean, realistically, what these people are going to do is they're going to go out and vote, and they're going to easily beat the Democrats and take Congress. I mean, that's what's going to happen. But maybe the other side, gets interested in secession. I mean, that would be the best scenario, really.
Yeah, I really think that's it. If we can somehow entice California to secede, that would be the best of all possible outcomes.
Right. You want to be in charge of the government. You want them to be the ones seceding, if possible. I mean, so.
What are you looking forward to covering, Brad, over the course of the next year? So, again, OccidentalDescent.com, folks, if it's not on your daily reads, it better be. It's on ours, and I'm there every day. So what do you want to cover? What do you want to see?
Every agonizing poll and survey shows, Democrats, descending to a new low.
DeSantis is that you would get the fevered musings of Brad on a daily basis. Disappoints. We get it every day.
I know all these journalists and academics and stuff are extremism experts are reading my blog every day. So when you read my blog, you gotta keep in mind that I'm kind of like trolling. I'm trolling those people. Right. A lot of the stuff I write is I'm trolling those people. So, but like, ha, have you seen this new poll? I mean, I assume they're there every day. That's.
That's a good assumption.
Yeah, I delight.
See somebody from the SPLC just writhing on the floor after reading one of your
articles. Well, they listen to the political cesspool every weekend. They listen to us now, I'm sure. They'll have us recorded.
I don't know. Do they listen live or do they listen on Sunday? That's the question. I don't know that.
They got somebody doing it.
Well, I'll tell you what, and we go back about as far as each other, Brad. I mean, we've been at this our entire adult lives. We are the same age. We have young families and wives. And by the way, Happy New Year, not just to you, but to Renee and to your son as well. And it's I'm looking forward to another great year with you, buddy, and seeing you a little on down the trail of our next get together. It's always fun.
Another hour of the political cesspool is in the can, but don't go away. There's more to come right here on the Liberty News Radio Network.